deep. Back goes Pence to the wall. Gone! And Mike Moustakas has set a Royals record with 5 postseason home runs.
Swing and a miss. Struck him out. All Royals, 10-0. Game 7 tomorrow night.
You got a 23-year-old kid pitching the biggest game that this stadium's seen in 29 years with our backs against the wall. And he goes out there in complete command of his emotions with great stuff and throws 7 shutout innings. We've talked all along about how special he is, but, you know, this just shows. You can't get in a bigger stage than he was on tonight. And to perform the way that he did was just special.
It might be a little hard at first, but, you know, got to find a way to get some rest. Like you said, this is what we always dream of. And, you know, being a kid, playing Little League, all that stuff, you dream of this situation right here, Game 7 in the World Series at the K. You couldn't ask for anything better.
All right, we get a Game 7. That's so much fun. Welcome into the zone.
With all due respect to Joe Klein, I don't think many people dream about Game 7 at the K.
Joe's a barbecue guy, and they eat a lot of barbecue in Kansas City. Last night, they had it with a side of feta cheese. My man Moustakas putting the final dagger in the Giants last night. Hey, 10-run rule. This is a great story. My buddy texted me last night. He said, my son just turned to me and asked if they had a 7-run limit in an inning, like they do in his Little League games. Nope.
He wasn't serious.
Well, he didn't know any better. He's like 8. I mean, you know.
Did they use all their hits on
that kid?
I don't think there is such a thing. I will say this.
Oh, I'm superstitious.
Well, here's the thing. If you want to get superstitious, it's come up red 8 times in a row. You going black or red?
I always go.
It just freezes 33. Me up. I don't know what to do.
Well, go red again. Here's the thing. I saw the stat today. Out of the last 9, I think it was 9 game sevens, the home team has won all of them.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, wasn't it 8 out of 10? Going teams down 3-2, going back for a 2-game home series.
They had a good record.
Teams
too.
Down, it was like 8 out of 10 that they came back and won those two,
including Kansas City in 85.
Yeah, so it's.
I picked the Royals, so I'm hoping.
I didn't pick really the series.
I bet we got big money in the Royals.
I'd love to
big
see
money.
It. I'd love to see it. The Giants have won, and the Royals haven't won in forever. And it would be nice to see a smaller market team pull it off. Now they're going to have to get over, you know, obviously the fact they haven't been in a long time, and. More importantly, Bumgarner, who's a little more
he's good player of the bullpen, right?
Right. So they say. Here's the deal about that. Bruce Bochy, if it doesn't work out, if they don't win Game 7, no matter how he uses Bumgarner, and he's going to use him some way, is going to be questioned.
Absolutely.
If they lose and he brings him in the third inning to pitch middle relief, they should have started him. If he starts him and they lose, he should have brought him in a middle relief or as a closer. Whatever he does, he's in a tough spot because he's got to use him.
I don't think so.
Well, if
he's
they
a 25-year-old phenom, you're going to take a risk on ruining his arm on 2 days' rest?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to use him no matter what. He's going to pitch.
I think it's a bad decision.
To use him at all?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, Wally.
Yeah.
I like it.
He's a 25-year-old phenom. Let's not ruin his arm.
I'm with you.
I don't think he throws that hard, though. He doesn't look like he's putting a lot of effort in. Now, he did throw 117 pitches the other day. It is a little surprising if you had interest in, and you knew you probably would need him at some point, if you had interest in using him later, it's a little surprising they didn't pull him out the other day and keep him under 100 pitches at least.
I agree with that.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what it's like. I don't know how much of that is real and how much of that is imagined by media members. I mean, back in the day, guys would throw, you know, a full game and then throw a couple days later, you know, pretty regularly. Now, guys aren't trained to do that anymore, but...
If he comes in and throws 2 innings of shutout and they win, he's MVP. Maybe there's something in his contract. He gets a huge bonus being MVP of the World Series. So maybe it's worth it to him.
Well, as a guy who's rooting for the Royals, I'm with you. I hope he doesn't show up.
Me too.
Here's Bruce Bochy on his decision not to start Bumgarner, which I don't know why that would be an issue. But, again, it's nice to know he's available if you're a Giants fan.
This guy just pitched. You know, he's going to be on 2 days' rest. He just threw a complete game. Our confidence in Huddy. You know, this guy's human. I mean, you can't push him that much, and you know he'll be available if we need him. But to start him, I think that's asking a lot.
I think that's asking a lot too. So it is Hudson against Guthrie tonight, and neither guy was hugely successful during the regular season, but both pretty solid guys. Of course, Hudson the vet, and it's a good story. 7:07 tonight is the start again, and we'll have a full recap tomorrow for you in the zone. One more clip here. This is from Hunter Pence talking about not really worrying about whether they did it in five or six or seven.
At the end of the day, the goal is to get from A to B. Not, it doesn't matter how you get there. You just got to get there. And that's to, you know, that opportunity and that dream is there. And we're going to push everything we got to get it done.
To quote the shooter, he's an ugly bastard. Is Hunter Pence the ugliest man in Major League Baseball today?
No, I think he's a great-looking guy.
He's really hideous, and if he shaved
that... Beauty's in the eye of the beholder.
If he shaved that garbage off his face, he'd be less terrible-looking, but he's really, really ugly. Speaking of ugly, last night, a horrific injury in the NBA. Game one, and the Lakers' run at a championship ended immediately, as if they had any chance at all anyway. Julius Randle goes down, and I've told you this...
Talented kid.
Over the last couple of years, Wally, my stomach turns at the thought of a leg injury. I cannot tell you why. Yeah. I was able to avoid seeing the Kevin Ware injury a couple of years ago, but after a significant ankle injury of my own in the last couple of years, I'm telling you, ever since then...
I don't think you compare your ankle injury to Kevin Ware's.
I'm not comparing it to Kevin Ware's or to what happened last night with Julius Randle, but my point is that sickening feeling you get in seeing someone's leg contorted is I just can't. I mean, every time I see a guy jump now, like Kobe, I was watching Kobe shoot fadeaways and doing all this stuff last night. All I was thinking is, God, I hope he doesn't come down on someone's foot.
Well, the ankle's
I'm freaked
a different
out about
deal.
It.
The ankle's a different deal because
this dude's leg snapped. It's a little different.
Oh, right.
Angle, yeah,
and that's different. But the ankle, you know, when you turn your ankle, it's almost it's definitely a different feeling
I'm
than
honestly,
any other injury.
Just talking about it now, when you made that motion, it made my stomach turn.
It's a much the ankle turn is much different than the knee snap or any other kind of femur or anything like that. It's a different deal because your whole body crumbles.
Most sports ask your legs to do things they're not supposed to do.
Yeah, I never. Here's the thing, though. In all my years, I rolled an ankle once sliding into a base. In from the time I was 11 until I was 18.
Was it a high ankle sprain? Because we didn't have those when I was growing up.
No, nobody had high ankles back in the day. That's been a development of the modern athlete. I had zero ankle and knee injuries during football, and I played from the time I was in sixth grade until I got through high school. But I had ankle injuries in basketball all the time. And it wasn't always from coming down on a guy's foot. It was misstepping. And maybe it's because it's a little more fatiguing because you're running up and down, and maybe that's the deal. Never had any injuries during track. Certainly wasn't ever injured during golf.
You know, he actually kicked himself
before he went down?
In the shin.
Oh.
Is actually how it happened. He kicks. It was a very strange deal, but he kicked his. Well, you know what? With Kevin Ware, he had like a hairline fracture of his leg already.
Yeah, well, those guys' bones are way longer. I mean, they're tall dudes. I mean, it's when you're compact like I am, you know, it's less likely, I guess.
But that's still, you know, Wally said it, where, you know, you're using your legs to do a lot more than the good Lord intended you to use your legs for. I mean, there are so many young guys.
What did God want me to use my legs for, Pat?
Radio.
If he wanted me to sit on them.
To herd sheep?
To sit crisscross applesauce. I think that's great. I'm good at that.
I mean, no, realistically, though, I can look back on what I did starting when I was like 13, 14 years old with the strength shoes. And I can look back at when I was in college and when I played professionally. There is no way that you were supposed to work out 7-8 hours a day.
Well, don't you think your knees are more suspect now than they've ever been?
I wear knee braces every single day of my life.
But right. I'm saying, the other thing is you didn't get a lot of rest in between. I mean, there wasn't
none.
Like you'd go 3 or 4 days where you just let your legs rest.
And
always
that was
something.
It. But I know, and then, you know, you can look at even guys we're familiar with, like Charles Barkley, the way he jumped and landed. How he's still able to walk with his back. I mean, you got back problems, you know. I mean, this guy is jumping. That's a big load.
Yeah.
These guys.
Tell the truth, Pat. Were game days easier? Did y'all look forward to them because you didn't have to practice?
Oh, yeah. Except it was, you know, the one thing that Coach Richardson did a good job was during the season, like when it got to like February, we practiced like the same amount of times if it was a game. You know, we'd practice 45 minutes. It was all running. But it was still, you know, we didn't keep us out there. That's the one thing I never understand.
Keep up your feet 2 or 3 hours, yeah.
Yeah, I never understand a coach who keeps their guys out there for 2 hours. Even if they're not running, why? I mean, they're
standing,
standing around.
Yeah, I hated basketball practice. There was a lot of standing around. I never really had a good coach, though, so you're lucky you played for a few of them. Byron Scott following the injury last night, and really that was the talk of the story. I mean, it's game one of 82, so the fact that they got smashed by Houston, a lot of people are probably going to be guilty of that this year. Nice job, Patrick Beverly. But they were really just talking about the Randle injury.
It is heartbreaking, you know, because I saw him all summer. I saw the work that he was putting in. I saw the progression that he was making, you know, the steps he was taking to get better. And, you know, his first game, he goes down. So I don't think anybody in that locker room is happy about the way we play, but we're even probably more saddened about the fact that we lost one of our young guys.
Now, that was one of the stories out of the game last night, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking NBA because the team that most people are focused on, well, there's really two. I guess one did play last night, the Spurs, who got their rings, had their banner put up in the arena last
night. Nice job.
The other one, of course, is Cleveland, a team that didn't play last night, doesn't play tonight. I assume maybe they play tomorrow. I mean,
Cleveland plays tomorrow.
Oh, that's
ESPN.
Good. That's good. Well, the team that everybody's waiting to see is going to wait until day three of the NBA season to finally get underway. Whoopie-doo.
Thursday.
At least they're not going to be competing with the World Series, which, as Tommy pointed out so eloquently in the last show, that's not something they worried about last night. And I will guess if you put the World Series ratings up against some of the NBA games probably held their own okay. Mostly because of the big market teams on the floor last night.
Johnny Manziel's going to see about as much action with LeBron tomorrow night as he's seen with the Browns.
Ha! Is he going to the game?
He probably is.
Might as well.
You know, I can't remember us talking.
Are they opening at home, I assume?
I'm pretty... Actually, I think they're opening... at home are they opening with? I know they play the Bulls on Friday night, too. So
I know this. Whatever the ticket is, wherever it is, it's going to be a high-priced ticket. And that Bulls ticket's going to be clown town.
Do you guys remember when he signed with the Miami Heat? It was definitely a lot bigger of an offseason leading up to his debut with the Heat than it has been this year with the Cavs. You remember though?
Yeah.
I mean, it was sort of, it was like,
well, they had the press conferences and
it
all
was
that.
Everything. I mean, yeah, it was a lot bigger than what it is this year.
They looked
year.
Unbeatable, even though you could make an argument this Cleveland team's maybe not as deep but as good in their top. I mean, Kyrie, he's got a dominant point guard, which is not something he never had in Miami, which is going to be fun to see how he plays with Kyrie. That'll be fun. And if you're Kyrie Irving, oh my gosh, the weapons you got around you.
Yeah, you got one play.
Well,
to LeBron.
Well, no, you got two plays because you also brought in a very high-priced free agent as well in addition to him. So we'll see what – I'm curious to see what his role is going to look like.
Kyrie?
No. Kevin
Love.
Love, yeah.
Well, he's so talented. I mean, he can shoot it, although he hadn't shot it well from the three-point line in the preseason.
I bet he gets better looks now.
Not
in the preseason, but then he did in Minnesota.
He's a committed guy. He's extremely talented, inside, outside, can shoot it, can pass it, understands the game, seems to be unselfish. We hadn't seen him, you know, in this kind of context.
Are both of y'all big NBA fans?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I am about – I'll see my first game next April, May, whenever the playoffs start.
That's probably more common.
Come on, really?
Well, I'm football right now, and then I'll be Razorback basketball till the, you know.
But what about the days when Joe Klein was strapping it on with Larry Bird?
He played in the NBA?
We're very multifaceted, though. We can't focus on one sport at a time. I get too bored. So we will certainly talk.
Hey, Sneaky, last night was one of the better sports nights we've had in a long, long time.
Good point. But we talked about it yesterday, the 30 for 30, the Kansas City Royals and the Giants. You had the announcement of the four, which, again, the reason we didn't leave the show with that is because I don't think it's that relevant in the big scheme of things. We're going to talk about it in a second here, and we're going to talk about it a lot throughout the show, and I'm sure that's what the majority of our calls will be about, who made the four, who didn't, who do you anticipate will be there at the end. But right now it really means very little because everybody's still got huge games to square off in, and it's going to sort itself out for the most part. I will say this. I
brought the remaining schedules for...
Thank you. That'll be helpful. I flipped over and I did listen to in a break during overtime yesterday. I flipped over and listened to... who's the big guy on ESPN?
Cowherd.
No, the guy that's on with Russillo. The tall...
Oh, yeah.
Literally the big guy.
Van Pelt. Scott. SVP.
And they were talking about how, you know, they had a debate about it. Does 8 solve it? I think 8 solves it. I think 8 solves it. And they're like, I don't know. I think you're still going to have the same issues with 9. And like he said, I'm going to lose a lot. And I've said this for years. I'm going to lose a lot less sleep over 9 not getting in the playoff than I am number 5 not getting in the playoff. In the same way that we looked at, it used to be, you had to lose sleep over 3 not getting in the playoff. And, oh, by the way, if your 3 is a team that went undefeated in the SEC and gets left out, what in the world is going on? So now I think if you go to 8, you solve everybody's issues. What I would like to see, and David Basel sort of made this comment slightly, kind of edged that way, was he said take 8 conference champions. Well, no, you got big 5 and small 5, right, or power 5 and non-power 5. You take, I think, the champion of the power 5 leagues as automatic bids, and then you fill in the gaps. The great thing about the 8 is if Arkansas State happens to get a couple of big games like they had this year, and let's say Miami and Tennessee are middle of the pack to upper echelon Power 5 conference teams. That's as good as you can do. You're playing two of them in the same season. Pretty soon they're going to get Missouri. Missouri is a relevant team. Let's say they run the table in their conference and they're kicking everybody's teeth in and they beat a Power 5 conference or team two or two. That, to me, that team that year should qualify for that 8th spot if they run the table.
Or at least get consideration.
It doesn't matter if Marshall...
Can you guys explain something to me, though?
It doesn't... Let me finish this thought real quick, and then yes. If Marshall runs the table this year and wins every game by 50, they're not in the Final Four. And that's okay with me. My point is, if you expand it to eight, Marshall's a great storyline, and they may get smashed, but at least they'll have earned their way in, and it's legitimate for them to be in the top eight, and most people aren't going to lose sleep over. They're never going to get in the Final Four. Doesn't matter how good Arkansas State is. Doesn't matter how good Boise State is. Doesn't matter how good Marshall is. You'll never, ever, ever get in the Final Four ever.
Right. The way that they have this schedule and everything. But here's what I'm struggling with. And Mark D'Antonio said it earlier in the year, and I understand the criteria. The first line says conference champs. Explain to me why conference champions deserve to be in a four-team or an eight-team or even a 10-team college football playoff. Why is there this need to have to put in somebody just because they won a conference championship? I don't see it, even if it's Marshall.
In the Big Five, you don't think it?
I just don't think if you have how it is today with three teams in one conference, I don't care if it's the SEC, a Big Ten, whatever it is, but if you got four teams that are legitimately in the top eight.
Because we do it in professional sports, and because we do it in college basketball, because everybody else does give preference to champions.
I understand when it's on the I can understand on a professional level because you have 32 owners.
College
you have
basketball.
Owners. College, but
the
with
best
68
teams are
though.
Not getting in, though. The best 68, it's not even close to the best 68 teams.
Well, it's enough of a scope of teams to where you can throw somebody a bone. That's all I'm saying is I don't think with such a smaller number that you should give Marshall, you know what, good season, guys. We know you're going to get your face smashed in, but here's a participation ribbon.
I don't want Marshall in because they're a conference champion. I want Marshall in if they run the table and kill everybody they play and beat a couple of Power 5 conference
teams. I disagree with that because I think they should get in if they're in the top four or if we go to a top eight or a top 10, whatever it is.
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. But I'm not talking about them as a conference champion. I'm talking about Power 5 conference champions, Big 10, SEC, ACC, Big 12, and Pac-12.
What if Ohio State, who was number 20, I think, ranked last night?
They're not the top-ranked team.
What if Ohio State wins the Big 10?
They're not the top-ranked team in the Big 10 right now, though.
I understand. But what if they do go ahead and beat – they go ahead and win –
if they went out and they have one loss, that's fine. So what?
Well, what I'm saying is, though, they're a conference champion. Now, yeah. I'm a little suspension of belief here and going to whatever is A-team. Why would they get in just because they won their conference if the conference is weak that year? Or the ACC? Look at the ACC.
Well, because you're going to have one, there'll be a one loss team.
I think it's such a.
You're saying if you get a conference, you're going to make the argument that I used to make about the Big East. You're saying that I used to have a problem with the Big East. Like the Big East has a four loss champion that's going to the thing.
Yeah. Exactly.
But here's the thing.
That's what I'm against.
I like the seasons where teams have a high flying year, they kill everybody they play. And they may not play as good a conference schedule as the SEC or somebody else.
But
like when Hawaii played Georgia in the Sugar Bowl a few years ago or whatever bowl game they were in. I think it was the Sugar Bowl. And they got murdered. But you know what? It's okay. They deserve their chance. And that was a unique thing. It wasn't very common. It's a very odd thing. We saw with Northern Illinois. They got killed.
But I would much rather the committee say, you know what? We think Marshall deserves, or whoever deserves, what Hawaii, to have an opportunity to be in this, to see what they can do versus it's an automatic.
No, again, you're mincing what I said. You're mixing them together. I'm talking.
I thought you guys just
conference
said,
champions as the Power Five, and then you fill in with three at-larges.
I don't think there should be any automatics.
And I'm okay with that, too. I'm just saying as an example. My point is, the bottom line is, eight teams is the answer. That's my opinion.
Fine with me.
That was their debate yesterday, and I got completely away from finishing up the talk about the Lakers game, so we'll have to come around back to that.
I just don't, on my record, no automatics.
I got no problem with that.
Because with basketball, really you got 68 teams.
I think
it's cool to have
my problem is, I think if they go to eight, they're going to do that, and then they'll fill in with the other three best.
I hope they don't, but they might. They probably will.
I agree with you. I think they shouldn't either, because you know what? There are plenty of years in an eight where there should be three SEC teams, and they all have a legitimate claim.
I disagree with both of you. The five should qualify automatically because they're the five best leagues. And they're having to beat each other up.
But Wally, to his point, I do agree with him on this. What if the Big Ten's champion has four losses, for example? Should they be in over a one-loss or two-loss SEC team?
Wally.
No. They'll have a clause in there that they.
No, they're not going to put a clause in, though, man. If they're going to put a champion, they're going to put a champion in. They don't care. They never made any concessions for the Big East when they blew, and they were sending three-loss champions to BCS games.
Yeah, bro.
Well, three of the Big Five this year are down. You forgot the Big 12. They're more down than anybody.
No, but Wally, but Wally.
And they don't even have a conference.
Yeah, but
TCU
is going to. TCU has killed everybody, and they're going to kill. They ran out of fireworks. But Baylor's a good team, and Baylor had a crazy, nutty finish, and they scored 24 points in the fourth quarter. That's not going to happen very often. My point is they're the best
TCU's
team.
Good
and they're going to be
team.
A one-loss team, and that's okay. And Michigan State's not a great team, in my opinion. I don't think they're as good as Michigan State last year. But they're gonna probably be a one-loss team at the end of the day. I don't think Oregon's as good as last year, at least not when they were healthy before Mariota got hurt. And you know what? They're going to be there, too.
Two things. The first is, I understand with the conference champions, they have to say that to make sure that fans continue to think that the season's important, and for everybody, season's important. But to the committee, a tip of the cap to them for not getting caught up in what I thought they would get caught up in some political correctness.
Yes, you're
they
right.
They didn't.
And that was a debate we had yesterday.
Yeah, I thought that they would have put a team from like all four corners of
what,
the earth.
I don't think they got the best four teams in there. And yeah. I think they put one of the wrong SEC teams in there. Even though I understand the head-to-head. We're going to hear from Jeff
but
Long.
But that's a good, that, I think that was a good sign that
Jeff,
they don't.
I agree with you. That was a very,
which
very
one,
good
sign. Do you think Alabama should be in there instead of?
I think Alabama's much better than Ole Miss, even though they lost at Ole Miss. Again, I understand the committee's position too, though. Because of that, though, I probably would have slid Oregon in.
I was surprised at Ole Miss because they're fresh off a loss.
Mm-hmm.
Just happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so, well, they're seventh in the major polls. I mean, that was my only thing I had a concern with. But again, they're going to lose again. As I said on Twitter this morning, the championship in the SEC and in the national playoff picture will be forged in iron and eggs. So when those two games are played, when the in-state rivals meet later this season, it's all going to sort itself out. And you know what? We may not even have to wait that long because a couple of those teams could lose this very weekend.
We might ask Jeff, did they talk about not having the exact four is the AP poll and the coaches poll?
I'm sure that was probably discussed. I doubt they're really that concerned about it. We don't have a conversation with him, but he did talk to Reese Davis following the announcement last night, and we'll play that. We'll take some calls first when we come back. It's 10:30. You're in the zone on the Buzz Radio Network, and
I got some questions for you guys when I get back because I'm
I've
trying to make sense
you,
of all
buddy.
This. I've got two questions.
If
got
one
two
of your
answers.
Questions is about how I lost all that weight, you should know by now. I've been talking about it for like.